Amen, amen, amen. Hey, we're on a series of lessons. We started last week, and we're going to be continuing for at least 4 weeks total, maybe 5 weeks with this thought. Here's our thought, our main thought for the next several weeks is God is your portion. Would you say that with me? God is your portion. Our key scripture that we found out last week is from Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 9. It says this, "For the Lord's portion," this is interesting, "the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob," or Israel, "is the place of his inheritance." So we would say, the Lord, you're my portion, but God says, guess what? You are actually my portion. I want you. I love you. I've got a plan for your life. I look at you not in disdain, not in I don't want to spend any time with you, not that you're bothering me. No, God says, you, my people, you are actually my portion. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to redeem us back to the Father from our sin, our shame, our guilt, our condemnation, where we want to run away from God, and God kept chasing us down. God says, you are his portion. We need to think that way. We need to have our life constructed that way, that we're not ticking God off. We're not making God mad, so angry he's never going to come chasing us again. On the contrary, God is going to keep coming into your life consistently, regardless of the season, regardless of what it looks like, because you are his portion. The scripture says there, you are his inheritance. We know, you know, in our day and our age, if someone dies, a loved one, a family member, you know, a mom or a dad, if there's resources, a house that's paid for or whatever, resources, those things are sold and then distributed as inheritance to the heirs. Listen to me. God says, you are my inheritance. What I have, I'm going to give you. I am directly connected to you. You're not alone. You're my portion. You're my inheritance. Everything I have, I want to give to you. Not just natural things, but spiritual things. I want to give you my love, my peace, my joy, my salvation, my provision. I want the angels of God to cover you and surround you and protect you. I'm going to be with you in the highs. I'm going to be with you in the low. You are my portion. Can somebody say amen to that? Now, what we found out last week was that even though the land, even though the allotment, that's what portion meant in the Old Testament, that God told the nation of Israel, you are my portion, my portion is with you. And when they went into the land, that God then said, the promised land, you're going to divide that land up to the 12 tribes, and each land that came to each tribe was called part of God's allotment, or part of God's inheritance, or part of God's portion. Even though God said, I'm giving it to you, they had to physically and forcefully drive out the enemy from that land. Spiritually speaking, this is Old Testament. Let's bring the spiritual application in the New Testament. You and I, even though God says, I call you blessed, I call you whole, I call you called, you're anointed, you're delivered, you're redeemed, you're sanctified, you're ransomed by my blood and by my name, still, even though that is a spiritual reality, you are going to have to physically and forcefully drive out from your thoughts things that have happened in your life, things that say contrary to that, and you're going to have to possess God's possession in that area. Does that make sense? Nothing's going to happen unless you do it. The enemies are out there. The Goliaths of life are out there. Until you take the word of God and attack that giant with the word of God, with the authority of God, and drive out that enemy from your land, that enemy will always be in your land. So this is something we do every day. Every day you got to just put on the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6, and say, we getting ready to fight up in here today. Come on. It's going to be a fight of faith today. We're going to stand on the word of God. We're going to speak to mountains. Come on, because I'm not going to let the enemy take my land. Can I get an amen in the room? We found out that they were required to worship God only, not worship any idols, not go after any idol worship, not for us any setting up anything above God, above his name, above his plan, his purpose, and his will for our life. We found out that they were required to completely trust God, regardless of what it looked like. Remember, they were going to water the land. The land wasn't going to be watered like it was in Egypt by their foot. They had a lot of manpower. No, God's going to have rain come down from heaven. He's going to take care of you in this land. And they were going to have to work the land. Again, it wasn't going to happen automatically. There's work to do. And to the degree that they did that would be to the degree that they enjoyed God's blessing. Now, what I want to do is I want to take you back to the book of Numbers, chapter 26. And this is in the Message Bible. And I want to start in the Old Testament and wind up in the New Testament today for a while. Check this scripture out. Numbers, chapter 26, verse 54. God spoke to Moses. We've said this a little bit, but let's look at this. Divide up the inheritance of the land based on population. A larger group, remember, the 12 tribes, a larger tribe or a larger group gets a larger inheritance. A smaller group gets a smaller inheritance. Each gets its inheritance based on the population count. Listen, so what God is telling Moses is that some of the tribes, the tribe of Asher might have been bigger than the tribe of Naphtali. Come on, all those different tribes, the tribe of Manasseh, 125,000 or whatever, different than another tribe, the tribe of Judah. But all those 12 tribes got land, but all those 12 tribes got a different portion of the land based on its size. This is similar to what we find in a parable that Jesus says, to one I gave one, to another I gave five, to another I gave 10. God is proportioning, and God is giving you what he wants to give you, and now you've got to do something with the land, with the gift, with the talent, with the ability that he has given to you. You and I are required to drive out things from our life that don't line up with the grace, talent, and ability God's given to us, and we are required to possess spiritual things and also natural things that he has entrusted to us. We have to kick out the enemy and bring in and allow the Spirit of God to come in and take over. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now the land, what's interesting, physically now, think with me, you go back 2,000 years, if you will, you're 3,000 years during Moses' time or so, 3,500 years ago, and Moses is writing this, and the people, there's no Walmarts. There's no, you know, you're not going down to SDG&E and getting somebody to come out and hook up cable and call Cox and wireless. And there's none of that going on. Everything they needed was in the land. You go to the land, and listen to me, you start raising a family. You go to the land, you start building a house. You go to the land, you start getting married. You go to the land, you start farming there. You go to the land, you got livestock there, cattle there, goats there. You milk them. You start going to the land, you start a business there. You start a trade there. Everything came from the land. Everything now that God's called you to do, listen to me, is in the land that now is living within you, called the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God lives within you. It lines up with the word of God. The land God's given to you, the allotment God's given to you, the place God's given to you. Listen to me. Isn't just physical land. And that some of my brothers, you know, and sisters, that we believe in prosperity. We believe in increase. We believe that God's going to take care of you, but not crazy. Not meaning that's all you ever talk about. Listen to me. God wants you to own a land. God wants you to get a house. God wants you to have territory. But listen to me. It's got to be spiritual first. That's the number one thing. Not excluding that, but that's got to be the first priority of your life. I'm not trying to get something from God. I want to be who he's called me to be in the land and the place he's called me to stand. Can I get an amen, everybody? So everything that they needed was in the land. They had to work for it. I got to read the Bible. I got to believe the Bible. I got to speak. I got to declare. I got to worship when I'm worried. I got to worship when I'm weak. I got to come against every giant in my life, and I got to declare, this is what the word of God says when I don't even feel like it, but I know I believe it, and I know I've seen him work before, but I'm going to declare today what God's word and his will says. Come on, can I get an amen? Yeah, that's what we do. Listen, the land, the portion, the allotment is what sustained them. God wants you to be sustained regardless of what it looks like. Not because you're strong in yourself. No, we're strong in the Lord. And the scripture goes on to even say, we didn't read it, but the land was passed on in the Old Testament from generation to generation. In fact, in the book of Leviticus, it says, if you owned the land, that land never got sold from your family. It was in there for generations. So listen to me. Can I just give a shout out to all you parents and you that are raising families? Keep the portion of God. Keep the land of God. Keep the allotment of God in the family of God, your family. Let it pass down from generation to generation. We're going to believe God, that God's at work in our kids. Numbers 27, don't turn there, just write it down if you're taking some notes. Numbers 27 is kind of interesting. I haven't got a scripture for you, but just follow along with me. There's an account in Numbers chapter 27 that five girls, five sisters came to Moses. A man had five daughters and no sons. The land, Old Testament, was always passed down from son to son to son. Not son to daughter, gals, I'm sorry, but the generation was that God set up, it was going to be passed down from the lineage of the dads. And this man had five daughters and no sons, and he dies in the wilderness. He doesn't make it into the promised land. And so again, the law said these girls don't get anything. And they came to Moses. And they said, give us a portion of the property that would have been given to my dad, our dad. And Moses said, we never heard anything like that. So Moses comes to God and says, God, what are we going to do about it? Know what God said? Give them the land that belongs to them. Yes. Listen to me. Give them the land. Give them the land. What's that talking about? Listen, look on the screen. If they didn't demand their inheritance, they wouldn't have received it. If you don't demand what belongs to you in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. So let me ask you a question. Is there something that belongs to you that you're not contending for? Is there something that belongs to you that you're just not contending for? If there is, how about today that just a spirit of faith like we've been talking about earlier, it just rises up in your heart to say, I'm going to get everything that belongs to me. I'm going to get everything in this land that belongs to me. Everything in the kingdom of God that belongs to me. The allotment that I have, the portion that God's given to me, I refuse to say no to it. I demand it come into my life in Jesus' name. Can somebody clap their hands about that just a little bit? Yeah. Yeah. So this is what allows you to possess his possession. You're an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You're not a secondary son or a daughter. You have to stand and you have to believe God and you have to declare, even if it's not been in my family, even if nothing's passed down spiritually from my mom and dad, I'm the first generation believing this up in here. Then listen to me, you believe it, you take hold of it, and God's going to work in you that you're going to be able to pass something down to your children and grandchildren. This is how the possession works. Not just physical things, but spiritual things. Now look real quick, Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8 and 9. This is where it's kind of interesting. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 10, I want to throw you a little bit of a curveball here. Because there's one tribe, some of y'all know this, called the tribe of Levi. This tribe, thousands of them, tens of thousands of them, they did not receive any inheritance in the land, meaning no land, no property, no allotment. The tribe of Levi did not get it because here's what God says. Check it out. Deuteronomy 10. At that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the ark of the Lord's covenant and to stand before the Lord as his ministers and to pronounce blessings in his name. These are their duties to this day. Verse 9, this is why the Levites share no property or possession of the land among the Israelite tribes. The Lord himself is their special possession, as the Lord your God told them. Woo! Sometime it would be going, any of your kids ever said this to you? I wish my last name wasn't Isbel. I wish I was a Portillo. The Portillo's got it going on. The Portillo, man, any of your kids ever do that? What do you want to do? Throw them in the back of the truck. Take them out. Come on, that's what we do. That's what we do, yeah. Come on, throw them in the back of the truck. Come on, that's going to be our new catchphrase, right? Throw them in the back of the truck. Come on, where are you taking the kids this weekend? The back of the truck. That's where we going. We're going up here to Julian in the back of the truck. That's what we're doing. The windy roads. I know if I was a tribe of Levi, you know, if I was a kid growing up, maybe I'd be saying, you know what? I wish I was a tribe of Judah. We get some land. Now you're just telling me now God's going to be. Well, listen to me. The scripture says these guys had a job description. All the people in the tribe of Levi. What was their job description? They were going to carry the Ark of the Covenant. Come on, somebody. You're going to carry God in the box. And you're going to stand before the Lord. You mean to tell me if you're standing before the Lord serving, you're not going to be changed? Yeah, you're getting ready to be changed. You're going to be the person that gets to pronounce the blessings of the Lord? This is the call. This is the land. This is the allotment. This is the portion God gave you. Don't be looking at nobody else. Come on, somebody. I wish I could sing like Pastor Kimberly. I've been praying that prayer for 40 years. It hadn't worked yet. Come on, everybody. I wish I could have that grace or that ability. Listen to me. Work the land God gave you. Come on, let's be happy for what God's given us. Come on, everybody. Amen. Let's thank God. Come on, let's thank God for what God gave us. Yeah. Now, the tribe of Levi consisted of the priesthood of Israel. The tribe of Levi consisted of the priesthood of Israel. They were in charge of the temple duties. They were in charge of everything for worship and for sacrifices and for the altar. And then the priests were the ones who would offer the sacrifices and the prayers, the burnt offerings up unto God. What's God saying? God says, I'm not going to give you any land. Your land is me. My land is you. You're set apart. You're special for this call that I've got in your life. I am going to take care of you. If you read more, God specifically and physically and naturally took care of all these people. What's God saying to us today in this? You take care of God's business and God's going to take care of your business. You seek first the kingdom of God, he's going to add everything to you that you need. You are not going to go under serving God. You're not going to go under coming to prayer meeting on Monday night from 6 to 7. You're not going to go under getting up early on a Sunday morning and dragging your kids sometimes in the back of the truck to church, everybody. Come on. Come on. You're not going under. Come on. God's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. Come on. Can you say amen? Come on. Let's take it from the Old Testament to the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Remember, we're talking about the priesthood, Levi. What's 1 Peter 2, 9 say? You are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. So the Old Testament, priesthood, tribe of Levi, ministers unto God in the temple and doing everything God's called to do. New Testament, guess what? Everybody is a priest unto God. Everybody is called. Everybody is anointed. Everybody has got a word of God, a prophetic word burning you for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Everybody can worship God. Everybody can serve God. Everybody can lay down their life. Everybody can do something amazing with your life if you only will. We're priests to God. God's our portion. God's our inheritance. We worship God. We serve God. That's why Jeremiah says this in Lamentations 3:24. The Lord, come on, say this with me. Read it out loud. Will you do it? Come on, read. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Come on, one more time. Say it. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. He's the source of everything I need. My portion, my hope is in you. My question would be, what does the Lord possess that he wants you to possess? What's the portion of the Lord? What's the inheritance of the Lord that seems like it's just distance out of your reach? Peace in your life. There's always confusion, always that anxiety, always that gnawing thing in your mind. God's portion is peace. Provision in your life. We've talked about it over and over. Healing in your life. God wants you to possess the inheritance and the portion that belongs to you. Let's find out about it. Let's dig deep in our own heart and let's plant the seed of the Word of God in our heart so that fruit will continually be nurtured and grown in our life. I love this scripture. We've looked at it before in Psalm 16, but I want to read you a different translation. It's the Passion Translation. Here's what it says. Yahweh or Jehovah God, you alone are my inheritance. You are my prize. You are my pleasure. You are my portion. You hold my destiny and its timing in your hands. Your pleasant path leads me to pleasant places. I'm overwhelmed by the privileges of that come from following you. You're my prize. You're my pleasure. You're my portion. We live in a generation where people are prizing all kinds of crazy things that'll be, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. What are you searching for? What are you longing for? What's the direction and trajectory of your life? Where are you going? Is it God? Is he your prize? Is he the target of your life? Is he that one thing, as Paul says? I want that one thing in my life. As David says, one thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and inquire in your temple. Lord, this one thing in my life, the prize of my life, the pleasure of my life, the portion of my life, isn't in a house, isn't in a temple, David, isn't in conquering my enemies, isn't for money and fame. The pleasure and the prize and the portion of my life is actually in a person. It's you, God. If this will be yours, you're going to start seeing a shift of priorities in your life, attention in your life, focus in your life. And listen to me, you're going to start seeing anxiety and fear and worry just leave your life like water going down a drain. You're going to start seeing the power of God, the presence of God, the pleasure of God, the Word of God, the life of God coming into your life like never before if you will just make this switch. Lord, you are my prize. Lord, you are my pleasure. Lord God, you are my portion. Can you say that with me? You're my prize. You're my pleasure. You're my portion. You're my portion. New Testament application. Come on, we'll start winding down today. New Testament application. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in Christ dwells all the fullness of God in a human body. One more time. In Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. You're complete. You're not lacking anything. You're not lacking anything. You're not deficient in anything. You're complete in everything of who you are now in Christ because of his death, burial, and resurrection. It wasn't just about him. It was about what you were going to become because of him. He went to the cross, sinless, spotless. No problem for him in the sense that death could not hold him down. But for us, death could hold us down unless it was for Christ. And so now we are complete in him, who's the head of all principality and power and might of dominion. And now we are joined with him in his victory over the devil and every demonic horde. And we don't have to be bullied around, pushed around by the world, by circumstances, by negative influences, by culture trying to come in. No, no, no. We can, in our land, we can have the will of God working in our land. Can you say amen? Right here. Come on, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. So every portion, every allotment, the inheritance or the ration that was Jesus's, listen to me, is now yours. Everything. Listen to me, everything. Don't leave anything on the table. Listen, go to the all you can eat. And it's like, what do you want? I want it all. Come on, everybody, I want it all. Brittany's here. I make fun of Brittany because Brittany, she's, you know, on the thin side, but the girl can eat. Come on, somebody. Come on. But the girl can eat. And while we were growing, we went and did a trip one time. We saved up a bunch of money. We took the kids on a cruise and we went down to Mexico. And on the cruise, come on, anybody know when you get on a cruise, one of the things you do repeatedly is you eat. And so when we were sitting at the table and we really didn't know, when the waiter came up and you had like a choice of three entrees, and Brittany, she was, I don't know, she was about 13 or 14 at the time maybe, and Brittany said, can I get more than one? And the waiter said, you can get whatever you want. And she said, I'll have all three. Come on, she still does that. Her husband says, Tony, she still does that. And so listen to me. Whatever's in the land, whatever your allotment is, whatever the scripture says, just say, I'll take it all. Come on, everybody. I'll just take it all. I'll just take it all. That's what I'm going to take. Yeah. Ephesians 1:11. Obed, come on, help me out, brother, will you? In him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Come on, say I've obtained an inheritance. Come on, say I've obtained. I have obtained an inheritance. I have obtained an inheritance. It's mine. It's mine. Well, Gary, I'm not enjoying it. I don't see it working in my life. Let me ask you, do you know about it? Do you know about your inheritance? Do you know what belongs to you? Do you know that you can have wholeness in your life? Wholeness? Completeness? That you can wake up every morning not having the dark cloud? Do you know that you don't have to go through your entire life under depression? You can be free. My inheritance, whom the Son sets free. It's free indeed. I know the truth. Come on, help me out. And the truth will set you free. Set you free. Listen, if you can find the promise, you can claim the provision. Someone said this, you can't claim a promise you're unsure God's willing to give. I don't know if he's willing to give this. I can't claim that then. But when I can see in the scripture that this is what God did for them, God will do it for me. He's no respecter of persons. If this is what you provided for me, then I'm going to take it. Thank you. That's all my response. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Every day, thank you. Thank you. In the land you've given me, I can walk in every provision that you provided in the scriptures. So what's it mean? Come on, you've been sitting for a while. Stand up. Would you do it? Stand up. Stand up. We're going to make a declaration in just the next couple seconds, like we did last week. But what's it mean? What's your posture for this week? Here it is. Look on the screen. We look to him. We look to him. We're going to look to him. Our eyes are on the Lord. Our eyes are on the Word. Everything I need comes from you. I'm not going to look at my circumstance. I'm not going to look at my situation. Yes, in the land, you're going to use my job. Yes, in the land, you're going to use other opportunities, but the provision comes from you. In my situation, I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. I'm going to look to you as your portion. Secondly, we expect him to intervene. We expect him to act. When I need help, you're a very present help in a time of trouble. You're my aid. You're my support. I'm telling you, when I'm weak, and I will be weak, but you said you'll be strong. So I'm counting on your strength. I look to you. I need you to be strong in my life right now. You're my hope. You're my confidence. You're my assurance. I trust your character. I trust the covenant that you're working for me. I can't see it. Doesn't look like it right now. But I trust, I expect you. I've got hope. I expect you to act. I expect you to intervene. Thirdly, we're grateful. We're grateful for what he's given us. We're grateful. This is the land you've given me. This is the allotment you've given me. This is the portion you've given me. Naturally, the gifting of my life, I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful. David says this. He writes this and says, Lord, you alone are my inheritance. You're my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you've given to me, it's a pleasant land. I got a wonderful inheritance. That's natural land. Who I am in Christ, what you provided for me, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful I don't have to be addicted to pain meds. I'm grateful. I'm grateful that you got me out of that situation and I didn't have to have that open heart surgery. I'm grateful. I'm grateful, Lord God, that with long life, you're going to satisfy me and show me your salvation. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful today. You know, just, I told you before, I'm grateful that my eldest son, Michael, and his wife were married for about 6 or 7 years or whatever, 10 years or what it was, and got divorced. They got divorced. My son got divorced. Two kids. And we prayed and prayed and believed in God. And I'm grateful. God changed her. God changed him, brought them back together. And they're pregnant, going to have a baby. I'm grateful. Listen, I'm grateful. Well, that's not my story. Listen to me. You can choose to be grateful anyway. Because I believe it can be your story. Just haven't seen it yet. Come on, everybody. Come on. Come on. We just haven't seen it yet. So make this declaration. Look on the screen. Read this with me. Would you do it? We're going to make this declaration. We're going to sit in the words. Say it with me. Father, I look to you. My eyes are on you. Everything I need comes from you. You are my portion. We look to you. Draw our attention from all the confusion. Draw our attention away from everything we don't see. You're our portion. Read this next line. Father, my hope, expectation, confidence, and assurance are in you, no one else. You are my portion. Expectation. My expectation. My expectation. Come on, let's say this last confession. Father, I am thankful for every blessing you've given to me. Help me use what you have given to me for your glory. You are my portion. Father, I pray the blessing of the Lord will magnify and just increase in people's lives. We're blessed to be a blessing in everything that you've given to us, Lord God. Help us increase. Help us give prayer. Help us give love. Help us give mercy and compassion. Finances, whatever it is, Lord God, let that be multiplied back to us. Our eyes are on you. Our expectation is on you. You're our blessing. The lines have fallen unto us, the inheritance in good places. It's good. It's good. You brought us to a good land, a large land that flows with milk and honey. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, all over the room, just 30 more seconds. Keep your head down, your eyes closed. Give everyone the right to privacy. You're here today. Maybe you've been with us many, many times. Maybe this is the first time. But you've never given your heart to Jesus. God's been tugging at your heart all morning. All morning. And today you just say, I'm ready. I'm ready. Or maybe you're here and you prayed a prayer before, but you got involved with some other things. And yet you're realizing God's got, the tug is still there. The call is still there. The land that God has for you, the allotment, he's not leaving. Come on, you are his portion. You are his inheritance. And he's tracking you down again today. And you're just saying, I surrender. I want you, Lord God. I'm turning to you. So all over the room, when I count to three, you want to be included in that prayer. We'll pray a prayer out loud. You won't be the only one praying it. But you just say, that's me. I want God today. I'm changing my mind and I'm changing my direction. Come on, lift up your hand when I count to three. All over the room. One, come on, two, three. From the front to the back, come on. One, two, awesome. Three, four, thank you for your boldness. Five, six, awesome, awesome, awesome. Come on, we're going to pray for you right now. You lift up your voices. We pray. We're going to pray with you. They'll say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you right now in Jesus' name. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. So I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord. I repent. I change my mind and I change my direction. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Come on, we can clap for these six people again today. Come on, God's doing something. Come on, God's doing something. Come on, everybody. Come on, thank you, Lord. Come on, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You prayed that prayer. There's a connection card right around there. There might be a QR code.